A few years ago, I came across a book called Dimensions by Jacques Vallée, and in it was an excerpt that really stayed with me. I spend a lot of time listening to audiobooks, as you guys know, but this particular excerpt made me pause, rewind, and screen record that particular section. And every so often, when concepts or discussions on synchronicity, meaningful coincidences, things of that nature come up, I always send that excerpt out. And I thought it was about time to actually do a mini cast on the concept of algorithms in our reality, on the concept of synchronicity, what we consider meaningful coincidences and correlation. And particularly, I wanted to try to see if all of these things could also help explain or understand the ADHD brain. So I'm going to begin with the actual excerpt itself. There's going to be three different versions that I will read to you to make it easy to take in and understand. And then I'm going to expand on it. The reason why I need three different versions is because, one, the repetition will help you to take the information in. And two, as you'll find out, when you take certain things and you restate it in different ways, it also allows you to become more familiarized with the information. This, I think, would be one of the more important quotes that you'll come across, or I should say, I hope it will be, because it has been profoundly important and paradigm shifting for me. So here we go. Modern computer scientists have long recognized that ordering by time and space is the worst possible way to store a lot of data at high speed. In a large computer-based information system, no attempt is made to place related records in sequential physical locations. It is much more convenient to sprinkle the records throughout storage as they arrive and to construct an algorithm for retrieval based on some type of keyword or on hashing, which is a procedure where the record index is randomized. Probability serves as the link between something objective, the record location, and something subjective, the request for retrieval. The synchronicity and coincidences that abound in our lives suggest that the world may be organized like a randomized database rather than a sequential library in the four-dimensional universe of conventional physics. If there is no time dimension as we usually assume, then the human brain may be traversing events by association. Modern computers retrieve information associatively. The user evokes the desired records by using keywords. For example, if you request the intersection of microwave and headache, you may find 20 articles whose existence in the literature you never suspected. If we live in the associative universe of the software scientist, rather than the sequential universe of the space-time 4D physicist, then miracles are no longer irrational events. The philosophy we could derive from this line of speculation would be closer to Islamic occasionalism than to the Cartesian Newtonian universe, and a new theory of information would have to be built. Such a theory might have interesting things to say about communication with the denizens of other physical realities or creatures of the multiverse. Now, to reiterate, the book is called Dimensions, A Casebook of Alien Contact by Jacques Vallée. That's Vallee. And the reason why I have to give different variations of it is, as you can tell, even by listening, at some point that I stopped, it just needed a bit of clarification. And so I put the through ChatGPT, I put the excerpt through ChatGPT, and I said, you know, clear this up, clarify it, all right? And so this is what it said. Modern computer scientists have long recognized that organizing data by time and space is the least efficient method for storing large volumes of data quickly, all right? So what is meant by that? Well, you don't take information and you don't store it, you don't organize it by sequence. You don't go, okay, well, this is a book that was written January 1st, 1990, and then here's another book that was written, you know, January 2nd, 1990. That's not a way to organize anything, is by, you know, by the time in which they occur. It makes sense to organize things by correlation, not when the book came out. So if you go into a library, the library isn't organized by, you know, this is the oldest book in history, and then this is the newest book. It's organized by correlation. How are these ideas related? All right. And in, okay, I'll continue. In a vast computer-based information system, there's no effort to align related records in sequential physical spots, which I just said, right? You don't do this when, you know, in a computer. It is more efficient to distribute records across storage as they come in, and then to develop a retrieval algorithm based on keywords or hashing, right? And we are familiar with hashtags. If you post videos or you post things on social media, doesn't matter when you post it, it's you need to put the appropriate hashtags to allow a computer system to understand what the video is about, right? So that you provide information in that regard, but also allow it to order the information and to group it according to other correlated topics, right? So if I'm putting out a video and it's about philosophy, I'm going to have to hashtag it philosophy so that the algorithm on Instagram knows, okay, this is a video on philosophy. And then it knows to show that video to people who are interested in philosophy. And then when you go in and you're searching and you type in hashtag philosophy, then all of the videos that will come up will be, hopefully, if the users who are putting in the information properly, will be related to philosophy. And then you can go in further and really fine tune it some more. So if it's a video on philosophy, but I'm also talking about Friedrich Nietzsche, I will hashtag Friedrich Nietzsche. And then if it's a video on philosophy that's talking about Friedrich Nietzsche, but also the eternal return, then I will hashtag eternal return. And then you, as a conscious observer or a user, can go in and choose, okay, do you want a broad topic, a broad discussion on philosophy? Or would you rather have, you know, would you want to go more into a detail and in terms of, okay, I want to learn about the eternal return. You may not even know that there is a correlation between the eternal return and philosophy, or you may not know that there is a correlation between the eternal return or the idea of reincarnating into the same life over and over again. You may not know that that was actually a concept that was publicized by Friedrich Nietzsche. So that's the hashtag Nietzsche. And so that's why you need to organize things by what is contained in the content of it, not the time in which it was developed or put out. Okay. And so probability acts as the bridge linking the objective and the subjective, right? So the objective being the location of the record, and then the subjective, which is the retrieval request. Now, that particular paragraph, I don't really understand it, but that's what he wrote there. The prevalence of synchronicity and coincidences in our lives hints at the world being more like a randomized database, the multiverse, than a sequential library. And by sequential, it means that as in linear, right? Like our world is not related by time, right? Sequence, as in, you know, 1945, World War, you know, two, you know, this like by a chain of events in a linear fashion. It's by correlation that our world is organized, which is why you experience things like synchronicity. And I think he's also implying that even within a universe, there is correlation, but there's also correlation across the multiverse as well. If you take a broad approach, you take a step back and you look across the multiverse, could there be correlation? So that's, could our reality, and this is my what I'm taking from it anyway, could our reality be linked to other parallel universes where there's similar things, like similarities in terms of, okay, parallel universes that contain Homo sapiens sapiens that have become intelligent, and then you have all of these here. But then could there be other multiverses that it's not Homo sapiens sapiens, as in like the human beings that are, you know, the lead in terms of intelligence on the planet, could it be, as I hinted about or talked about, actually, it wasn't even a hint, in the book, so you're living in a simulation, could there be parallel universes where it's reptiles that have evolved to become the dominant species on the planet, so then they're organized in another way? And then could there be a correlation between a reptilian Earth and then a Homo sapien Earth? And then could there, you know, could there be an overlap somewhere? And considering the fact that his book is dealing with aliens and things of that nature, I would suspect that that's what he had in mind when he wrote that paragraph. And of course, following up, the title is Creatures of the Multiverse. So without the dimension of time, as we commonly perceive it, the human brain could navigate events through associations. Now, this is why I think ADHD, this is where I think ADHD comes into play, but I'll come back to this. Modern computers operate similarly, retrieving information through associative means. Users pull up desired records using keywords, or I guess, quote unquote, words of power. That's what he called it, words of powers. I don't think that words of power is necessary, but keywords. And as I've used as an example, an explanation, hashtags, right? Hashtag philosophy, hashtag eternal return, hashtag aliens. This is how we are able to pull up the needed information, correlated information is by keywords. And he's essentially saying that throw away time, right? Throw that away. The brain navigates events through association. And you see this in terms of even when you remember things in memory. So in the book, going back to the book, he says, for instance, searching for the overlap between microwave and headache might uncover 20 articles you never knew existed. So if you go into ChatGPT, I guess, and you type in, hey, find me an overlap, find me articles where microwave and headache, those two keywords, overlap, you may end up pulling up articles that you would have thought of, or I should say ChatGPT would end up pulling up articles that you never would have even thought to look for yourself. But because it's an algorithm and the computer is the organizing factor, it can pull up things that are correlated based on those two keywords. So that's how the universe is organized, according to this author. And I would be inclined to believe it. So going on, living in the associative universe proposed by software scientists, as opposed to the sequential universe of space-time physicists, redefines miracles as rational phenomenon. So basically, he's indirectly saying, and I'm directly saying, that if we live in a simulation, which of course you guys know that that's the ongoing premise of the show and of the book, then said universe would make sense to have been ordered by an algorithm and by association in the exact same way a software scientist would create a world, as opposed to sequential in the way that a space-time physicist would perceive the world, right? Big bang to present time, that's a line. Whereas if it's a simulation, that line is an illusion. So that makes sense. And there's a different sort of organizing principle that sort of pulls everything together. So going back, so this speculation leads us towards a philosophy more aligned with Islamic occasionalism than the Cartesian or Newtonian worldview, necessitating the development of new information theory. This emerging theory could offer profound insights into communicating with the entities of other physical realities, the denizens of the multiverse. As I said earlier, right? Humans, Homo sapiens sapiens, Earth, parallel universe, Homo sapiens, Homo sapiens. Could there be a parallel universe where instead of Homo sapiens, it's reptilians that are essentially the highest form of intelligence and developing? And what would their AI look like? What would their world look like? What would they develop, technologically speaking? And then could there be a means in which that there is an overlap? And could they, by having this information, and even if, like, say, their scientists are operating from an understanding that they're living in a simulation, could they use such a technology, such an understanding of that reality, rather, of the nature of their reality as being associative? Could they use that to develop a technology that would allow them to navigate the multiverse the way a software engineer can sort of organize and go into different programs based on an algorithm? That's brilliant. I'm going to come back to the ADD thing, but I went in again and I asked ChatGPT, okay, now I need you to explain this one more time to clarify, but using sort of technical terms and really making it more precise. So here we go again. In computer science, organizing large volumes of data efficiently is crucial for quick retrieval. Traditional methods that rely on sequential or spatial organizations are not optimal for high-speed data management. A more effective approach involves distributing data across different storage locations and utilizing advanced search algorithms for retrieval. And like I said, you can see this on just a base level across social media. You see this on the internet, and now you're seeing this with AI and ChatGPT specifically, right? So then it goes on to define hashing. Hashing stands out as a critical technique in this context. It transforms any piece of input data into a fixed size string of characters known as hash codes through a mathematical function, the hash function. This hash code uniquely identifies the original data, allowing for rapid access. The process is deterministic. Hey, that's my favorite word. Meaning the same input always produces the same output. And it's designed to minimize the occurrence of different input producing the same output, known as collisions. It is designed to minimize the occurrence of different inputs producing the same outputs. So basically, what you put in is always going to produce the same output. Deterministic. The same input always produces the same output, which is why they've said our universe is largely deterministic, meaning everything that was present at the beginning of the universe, if you want to consider a beginning, right? If you want to take the Cartesian model, a Newtonian approach, right? At the beginning, right? Let's just say that that's true. There was a beginning. Fine. But you put all of that in, then even to this conversation happening and you listening to this podcast is already going to be guaranteed, was already guaranteed the moment the input was put in, right? So going back, if this is a program, if we are in a software program, then it lends itself, it would make sense for it to be a deterministic reality, which then that means that literally there was no beginning. It was a set of sort of codes that were programmed in. And then the input, kind of like you do with AI, you put in a prompt. And then the prompt basically will spit out pretty much the same or similar outputs, right? Could there be variations? Yes. Variations in the same way, if you go into ChatGPT or Midjourney and you ask for something, it could create slight variations. But for the most part, because the input is the input, you're not going to put in, generate a picture of a banana and get a flying saucer. That's not how that works. It groups everything to association. And even if there were slight variations, it's the same slight variations in the way of when you put in something in Midjourney and it generates different variations, maybe different faces, this, that, and the other. But overall, it's similar. And that similarity is what we would call a parallel universe. Still similar, slight variations. And that's what's happening in our reality. The concept extends metaphorically to our understanding of the universe. Instead of viewing time and space in linear and orderly, we may consider a more complex interconnected arrangement where events and information are linked through associations rather than sequential positioning. So I just said that. This associative model is akin to how modern databases retrieve information using keywords. So this is important. As we get more exposed to it, it starts to sort of, you start to really understand it, right? Focusing on the relationship between data rather than their chronological order. Chronology doesn't mean shit. I almost want to title this, you know, chronology doesn't mean shit, but I can't. I just like it. I want to put it on a t-shirt, but only like three people would know what I'm talking about. I get excited about stuff like this, but I'll carry on. Exploring this analogy further, if one were to research the connection between microwaves and headaches, the use of hashing and keyword-based searches could uncover a wide range of interconnected articles demonstrating the power and efficiency of nonlinear data organization. That's brilliant, right? So what did I say? I said about like ChatGPT. You can go in and say, hey, I need you to search this database according to these keywords. I want you to find the correlation, find articles, do research to connect microwaves to headaches, right? And then it's going to pull up articles that are correlated based on the two inputs that I put out, right? If the program is programmed properly, if I put in microwave and headaches, I'm not going to get an article having to do with gardening. You put it in, right? You put in the prompt, and what it's going to pull out is everything that's associated with those prompts, which is why I put on my threads, what I said was, start ignoring the fuck out of signs and meaningful coincidences. They don't mean what you think they mean. And I'm going to delve into that in another episode, in another recording. I don't want to, you know, bind them too much into this one. I want to focus more on this for this episode. And then from this episode, we can kind of build up on what I mean by that post on my threads. Okay, so exploring this analogy further, if one were to research the connection between microwaves and headaches, oh, I just said that, this perspective challenges traditional views of causality and sequence in the physical world, suggesting a universe where connections rather than linear progression, connections rather than linear progression, define the structure of reality. Connections define the structure. What you think of as a meaningful coincidence, it's just the algorithm. It's just saying, yes, of course you're going to find people like you because that's how the universe is organized. Of course that's going to come up and it's going to seem meaningful. Of course, if you're saying something, if you're talking about something and then the person on your TV is saying the same thing, it makes sense because this is a program. We are in a software program and that's just how things are organized. Are you starting to see it? So you're going to get that syncing. You're going to get that synchronicity because it's everything has been input at the start of the program. And the way a computer organizes things is by correlation. They don't mean anything unless you give it meaning. And as you being a man or a woman or human, right? You're the one that is supposed to give meaning. However, you can choose not to. That's a different podcast. I'll get back to this, right? Rather than linear progression, define the structure of reality. Such a view aligns with philosophical concepts like Islamic occasionalism, contrasting with the deterministic universe depicted by Newtonian physics. I don't know if that's a contrast. I think that's more of a, I think it's supporting that. But it is what it is. It opens the door to developing a new theory of information that embraces the complexity and interconnectedness of the universe, potentially revolutionizing our understanding of and interactions with our world. Boom. If that doesn't blow your mind, then I guess your mind's not easily blown. Or I don't even know if actually I would say this, your mind is not easily blown. That is fucking amazing to me. And it basically helps me better understand our reality. Because there's one thing that I have found out, and I'm not the first to speak on this, authors have written about. There's a ton of books out there, and you can find them by going into ChatGPT and typing in the keyword, find books on meaningful coincidences, books on synchronicities, articles on that. And you find that it's a phenomenon that occurs. And as we, as conscious observers who don't realize that we're in a simulated reality, we look up and we have these experiences and we're like, whoa, what's going on? And it's like blowing our mind. But if you take a step back and you go, wait, we are in a simulation, then it's not mind-blowing. It shouldn't be mind-blowing. It shouldn't be as mind-blowing as, hey, I go into Instagram and I'm constantly looking up, you know, posts on philosophy. And then I see on my Explore page a bunch more posts on philosophy. Well, there's a correlation between me, the user of the app, and the algorithm that is set up to put together, first of all, a bunch of videos on philosophy, and secondly, most importantly, you being the conscious observer of said videos, it needs to connect you with those videos, with your interests, and that's just how it organizes it. It's not magic. It's not a miracle. It's literally just the nature of the program on your phone. And it's the same thing where people are like, I'm saying something. I just was talking about it. And now I'm getting ads for it on Instagram. Well, you gave the app access to your microphone. So the difference is you're not typing in the word philosophy. If you say philosophy around your phone and you have given this app access to basically crawl your conversations throughout the day and pull out data of the things you talk about, when you go into the app, it's going to show you keywords that you have spoken as opposed to type in. So it's not a miracle. It's not mind bending. It's just technology. And if you take that and you expand it, or you push it out to a macro level, then that same thing is happening in our reality. It's a program. You are a user within a game. You don't realize that you're in a game, but that's the nature of the game. It's meant to be immersive. If you are listening to this, it's probably because maybe on some level you chose to have a reminder that, okay, this is just a simulation. And that's where this podcast comes along. And I'm playing a function, I'm performing a function of just here to let you guys know that this is how the game works. It's super meta, but it is what it is, right? And so synchronicities, you know, meaningful coincidences, meeting somebody that you have a lot in common, it shouldn't blow your mind. And it don't give it the meaning of, I met this person, we have a lot in common, so now that means that this is my soulmate. No, you can define that. You can say, okay, this is what it means, but that's you giving it meaning. That doesn't mean that that's what it means. Just like if I go into an app and I've been talking about philosophy all day, and then I open, you know, Instagram and I see a book, an advert for a book on philosophy, I don't go, this must mean that I have to buy this book. It's like, no, it's the program. The program is set up to essentially sell shit to you, right? You could choose to give it meaning and make that ad be something mystical, and I have to, you know, read this book, and that's up to you. Or you can be like, okay, that's great, that's the algorithm working, but I'm gonna keep it moving. That's also up to you. But these are kind of nudges that are meant to nudge you in a particular direction. Okay, I'll bite. I wanted to save this discussion and put it in a different episode, but at this point, I might as well just continue, because I don't want to then in a different episode tell people, well, if you haven't had a chance yet, in order to understand what I'm saying, you have to go check out the episode. I'm just going to put it because it's just build up. But then there's also the conversation I want to have on ADHD. It might end up being a long episode. Let's go. Right. So, meaningful coincidences and why I said you should ignore the fuck out of them. What you need to understand as a conscious observer is that your job, your function, or what you exist for, or who you are, is to impart meaning into things. That is it. Humanity is a meaning infusing machine. It's not even a machine. If you want to say that you are a conscious observer and you choose to be here, and if you want to operate on the premise as discussed in The Dark Oracle's Guide to the Multiverse, that this world is just a futuristic game that has been, you know, constructed by immortal beings who come back here to have a mortal experience where people die, and then you're an active player or an active observer, that's fine. Then you can take a more sort of active role and say, things aren't happening to me. I am in this world and I'm the one who goes in and gives things meaning. However you want to perceive it, at the end of the day, that is your job, that is your function. You give things meaning. You've heard the analogy that if it rains on a wedding, in the West, people consider that bad luck. However, in the East, it's considered good luck. What you then do with that information depends on your culture. But if you give that rain the meaning that is good luck, then your actions from that point will essentially be imposed on your belief at that point of what the significance of this quote rain is will be imposed on your experience. And that's an input that you put in that's going to guarantee a particular output, which is, this is good luck. This rain means something good. So I'm going to approach it as this wedding is blessed. And then you, the conscious observer, are the one who imposes that. That is the input that will then determine the output of, okay, then this must be a good wedding. If you're the kind of person who comes from a culture that the rain is actually seen as a bad thing, and if it rains on your wedding, then you're going to go into the situation with this input of this is bad. And then as a result, you're going to generate a reality experience, which is already programmed in, right? It's like I said with ChatGPT, if you put in this, you're going to get four variations, but it's more or less going to be the same thing. However, all of those variations are programmed in and it's guaranteed to spit out. It's just pulling from data that it already has, and it's going to spit out a particular reality experience that's already pre-programmed in. It's just, what is it going to show to you? And then from that point on, the experiences that you have are probably going to be largely negative, because you're going into a situation with the input of, this is a bad thing. It rains, it rained on my wedding, and this means it's a bad thing. You could go into the third option and say it rained and it means nothing. And then that's a different output. That's a different input that's going to then generate different outputs, different reality experiences for you. But it's all programmed in the moment you put in the input, right? But even from the quote beginning, it was all programmed in. That is literally just the function of the game. And this is how it works. So what I've noticed in my life, especially when I started to sort of see an uptick of synchronicity, is that when I gave it meaning, I was the one who was controlling how things went, or I should say my mindset generated particular reality experiences based on what I thought this was meaningful. But as a result, I ended up in situations where I was like, man, what the fuck? Like, I thought that this was something good, right? I was having a thought about something. You know, like, I was having a discussion about binary codes, right? And then I ran into somebody who, they gave me their number, and their number had 0110 in it. And I thought, oh my gosh, like, that means something. I gave that person's phone number meaning, except that the way the universe organized things, it just went binary code coming from my mouth. Here's an individual whose phone number has a binary code. And then it just blindly put it together. Remember, AI is, it simulates intelligence, but you are the one who chooses and gives it meaning. Like, I can go in and I can write, I can have AI generate an article, but you as a human being have to go in and make that article have meaning, because you are a meaning generating machine. Right? Or your conscious being, that's your function. You either want to consider yourself a meaning generating machine or a God that has the ability to give things meaning, right? An AI can generate the most beautiful fucking face in the entire world, but it doesn't mean anything. It's a human being that comes in and says, and then maybe can take that same face, but tell a story. And then give it meaning. Paint the face, sculpt the face. The moment a human touches something, the moment a human's mind touches something, the moment a human shines the light of its consciousness on the thing, it then imparts meaning into it. You are a meaning infusing God or machine, depending on your mindset. You pick whatever you want, whatever input you think works for you. And then that will determine your output. So all the game is doing, all the simulation is doing is going, she was just talking about binary code. Okay, this person's phone number has binary code, and it's just organizing it. The way if I type in microwave and headache, it's just going to pull up a bunch of articles. I then have to decide, okay, which articles are relevant for what I'm trying to do. That's it. But if you're constantly saying, all of this means something. So like I put in headache, I put in microwave, and then I just get a bunch of random articles. If I'm just every time every article comes up, I'm saying this is meaningful. Well, that's inefficient. That's ineffective. What ends up happening is that you're just kind of moved this way and that. you're kind of just steered by the algorithm, whatever it is that it's generating. And the problem with that is then you're sort of blindly being strewn about by essentially what you're perceiving of as randomness, but it's not random. It is organized. It's just an organizing principle that you have given meaning to that may not have the meaning that you think it does, right? You're the one who's then deciding this is meaningful, but you can't move in that way blindly. You can't just every correlation means something. It's simply correlation, right? Just like if I go in and I say, okay, I'm going to Instagram and I put in philosophy as the hashtag, and then I get a bunch of videos, I can't just go, okay, all of these are meaningful to what I need, you know, what I'm looking for. No, it's not. You're literally going to waste your fucking time. You have to go in and you decide which of these you scroll through. It just gave you an input. It just gave you an output, rather. You have to decide, well, which of all this means something to me, is associated with what I'm looking for. You make the decision. The reason why I said ignore the fuck out of meaningful coincidences, they don't mean what you think they mean, is because they don't. They're not, it's not the universe trying to guide you in a particular path. That's what people think it means. It's just a fucking algorithm. You, as a conscious observer, have to be the one to take a step back and go, I'm going to follow down this path, or just go, well, that's interesting, but of course I'm going to meet people I have things in common with, because that's just how the algorithm is set up. It's so funny to me when I meet people and they're like, well, I don't understand how the simulation hypothesis really like applies to your day-to-day life. Like, how does it, you know, make a difference, you know, in your day-to-day existence? How does it fucking not? So you just want to go through life not understanding that there's actually like laws and a structure behind what you think is a day-to-day existence. Fine. If you think that life is literally just getting up, you know, that there's laws of nature, there's laws of physics, there's laws of even how things sort of grow, right? You plant a seed, it's going to grow in a particular amount of time. That's all programmed in, right? You have, you know, babies are born after 9 months. That's programmed in. All of the stuff, you have a life expectancy of a particular time. That's all programmed in, with deviations, of course, but that's because the mind comes in and can alter things as well. But if you want to go through life and thinking that all of this shit is ordered, but all of that order came randomly, you're fucking insane. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't. But if you want to believe that, that's fine. Do you, right? If you want to think that all of this, everything you see in your life is all sort of ordered, right? We get up in the morning, we have alarm clocks. It's just everything is order. If you want to think that, and then you want to think that everything that happens in your life is just random, okay, that's cool. If you want to ignore the fact that just as there's order and laws in the external, there's orders and laws in your day-to-day. If you want to ignore all of that, go for it. But for me, this helps me better navigate reality. It also helps me better deal with the day-to-day existence and help me better understand day-to-day existence, which leads me to my last point. And here we go. I was going to break it up in three parts, but it doesn't. Maybe I will going forward. Doesn't matter. I'm rambling. Listen, ADHD. I was talking to a friend of mine who said, you know, like they have ADHD. And so they came into their house and they were about to go and get themselves, I think, a bowl, like a cereal, like milk and cereal. So they went to go put cereal and milk in their bowl, and then ended up somehow getting, quote, distracted and deboning their fish for dinner later. So this was morning. They got up to go make breakfast, got to the fridge, and then breakfast got set aside. They poured out the milk, but then they decided to then debone the fish for dinner later. And I said, no, that's interesting, because I sat down to record a podcast, which I'm doing now, but it took me a while to get here. I sat down to record a podcast and instead ended up reorganizing my living room. And when this individual, my friend, like when he said to me, like, this is what happened, what I was able to see was, okay, we both have ADHD. What's happening though is our minds are moving in a nonlinear fashion, which is exactly what I'm talking about, how the universe is organized. It's moving in a nonlinear fashion in the sense of, for me, for example, I got up and I was thinking I need to organize my thoughts. And something in my brain, or the way my brain works, goes, okay, we need to organize. So it took the word organ, organization, and then came in and then said, okay, well, I walked into a space that was disorganized. And so I started organizing my living room. So that was the key, that was the input. It was the input. The input was organized. And then it led to the output of organizing the living room. But while in the process of organizing my living room, I was then able to organize my thoughts for the podcast. Because at first, what I was going to do was what we're forced to do with people who have ADHD is you have a task in mind. Immediately, you have to go sequentially. You have to now go and do the task. And if you can't do the task, the moment you have the mindset to do the task in a sequence, like here's the idea, go do the thing, it's linear. If you can't do that, then we're led to feel like there's something wrong with this. Like, why can't you just finish what she started in a linear fashion? And my response now is, well, who the fuck says, if the universe isn't organized in a linear fashion, then who says that I have to finish things in a linear fashion from start to end, from beginning to end? If all of time is sort of happening right now, right? And it's really non-linear. And then if this article is basically saying the same thing, that in a program, it's not by sequence, it's by correlation, then it makes sense for somebody to go, okay, I'm going to go to the fridge and have some milk. But then your brain goes, fridge, dinner, trout, prepare for dinner now. Because there's a correlation now. There's a unifying fridge, dinner, trout, milk. Well, I'm already here. It makes more sense for me to do the things that I've, like, I'm correlated. My mind and my body is next to this particular thing. So I might as well, while I'm in the kitchen, do the kitchen thing before I then go off and do something in my studio, right? So that makes sense. I believe ADHD brains kind of group things together in terms of correlation rather than linear. There's something is happening with the way an ADHD brain perceives time. Another thing too is that, at least for my brain, is the sort of, I'm incapable of doing one thing at a time, right? So it goes back to it appears to be a resistance to the linear flow of time that we sort of have found ourselves in, which is why I talk about concepts like, how do you know you're not repeating the same day? Right, we think about concepts like, oh, it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and that's a linear sort of thing. But how do we know it's not Monday, Friday, Wednesday? Monday, Friday, Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday. And I think only ADHD minds would understand what the fuck I'm talking about. Because think about it, right? Think about it. And how do we know it's 20? We're putting all these labels of 2020, 2021, 2022. And then people talk about, well, this summer has been particularly cold, right? Or this winter has been particularly cold, rather. How do we know that we're, you know, when we say it's a new year, it's actually 2024 and not 1984? Like, we have imposed this line, but that's just for our organizational sort of processes. You go to sleep, who knows when you're waking up? And that's a wild concept. Obviously, maybe not 1984, but maybe something is happening in a way that we're not perceiving it. But then with people with ADHD, if you study them, their minds are not linear. That's why they have issues, I believe, with time blindness, right? Because once again, this idea of being somewhere on time, if you have a mind that's not functioning in a linear way, then it would make sense for it to, like, not be able to understand, okay, I need to be here at X time. It's like sort of an arbitrary construct that's been imposed on the mind, right? And that's what they have a hard time functioning with. So what I've said to myself is this: sometimes the hardest thing for me is getting a task started, right? So I have a painting and I'm like, I need to finish that painting. And that's because I'm sort of being oppressed by this linear flow. Like, you started this painting Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You should be painting it every day until the painting is finished. If you do anything other than that, then you are procrastinating. But that's not fair. Because sometimes, even like for like a book or something that I'm writing, I could start out with one concept on Monday. And had I finished that book by Friday, the book would have had a completely different meaning than if I finished that book, let's say, in 3 weeks. Because the experiences that I had between Monday and 3 weeks later changed the trajectory, changed the outcome of what that book ends up being about. And that's because, let's say, that book was never intended to have been written Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in a linear fashion. That book was intended to be written in an associative fashion, in the sense of day one, start the first chapter, day two, day three, inspiration. Day, week two, okay, another chapter, inspiration, editing, learning, another chapter. If you sit and you just go, okay, I'm going to paint this thing from start to finish, right? I guarantee you, if you had sort of a time loop and you went, okay, I'm going to go to like March 1st and I'm going to paint something. So imagine you had a time machine and you were able to plug yourself into March 1st and you go, okay, I'm going to paint for 7 days, right? And I'm going to force myself, I'm going to take medication, I'm going to force myself to paint in those 7 days back to back to back. And then you went back again, you finished the painting, and then you went back again and you plugged yourself into a time machine. You went back to March 1st, but then you allowed your brain to just do its thing and then see how that painting turned out if you just went with the flow. I can almost guarantee you that the painting that you generate, or the work of art that you generate, or the book that you generate, or the craft that you craft, is going to be significantly better, significantly more, like, it's going to have significantly more depth if it was the piece that had the non-linear approach, that was more of associative. It was based on all your experiences between the time of the start and to the end. It's going to be a better piece than the one where you just sat down and was like, I've got to do this thing. Now, granted, we live in a linear society, right? So, those of us with ADHD have to learn that, hey, listen, like, you've got a deadline, you've got to just do that shit. You know what I mean? And I think that is why a lot of ADHD brains kind of still try to keep it loose before they get to the deadline, because they're still trying to work with that associative play to kind of feed into that project as much as possible. And then at the end of the deadline, then they try to force everything in a linear fashion. So it's still their brain trying to sort of work outside of the confines of linear time, because I think ADHD brains are more likely to understand the true nature of reality, which is a sort of a non-linear, correlative, more approach. Okay? That's something I really need for you to sit with. There's a painting. I was upset at myself because I started this painting literally a year ago. Normally, it doesn't take me a year to paint a painting. Normally, if I sit and I force myself to do things in a linear fashion, I can usually finish it in about a month or two. But this painting, I started doing other things. I started the painting, then I started another painting, and then I wrote a book, did a podcast. There was all a lot of stuff that happened, and I kept coming back to this painting. And because of everything that I had read and all my experiences that I had in the year, the painting ended up actually looking a lot cooler because there was a book that I read, let's say, at the start of this year on mushrooms, sacred mushrooms, that as a result of just a series of correlation, the book came across my path. And then as I was listening to that book, I was like, well, this actually fits really well into the theme of this painting that I started a year ago. And I'm going to now incorporate mushrooms, because the painting had it was a female. So I used the same face, but it was masculine and feminine. So I used a male's body for the masculine version of the female. So they both still look like women, but one was just more masculine than the other. And it was meant to embody twins, which is a recurring motif in my paintings. But it was also meant to sort of symbolize like duality. Now, I wouldn't have thought to incorporate mushrooms a year ago, but then I read this book called The Sacred Mushrooms, which came as a result of listening to a book that was written by Philip K. Dick, where the mushroom, the author in that book was mentioned. So then after reading that book, I went to go read this book about mushrooms. And then as I'm reading this book about mushrooms, it's talking about how mushrooms actually can be like, sort of like they can reproduce on their own and they can be like sort of both sexes. And I was like, oh, this is perfect because I'm painting a painting about sort of duality and like, you know, male, female, this sort of this exploration of duality, masculine, feminine. And so all of a sudden now I'm like incorporating the mushrooms, but even the painting has become an associative experience and a reflection of how our reality works. It's by correlation. You see all of that? And so I guess I'm saying all of that to say, like, yes, should we work on issues with time blindness? Yeah, we should set alarms and show up to things on time. If you have things that you have to do and you have, you know, deadlines and things of that nature, yeah, it makes sense. Like, you have to sort of learn to function in that world because that's the world that we found ourselves in. But it's not a disability. It's to me, if anything, it's a sort of a high functioning way, higher than normal, of perceiving reality in its true form. And I think if you start to actually watch how you move, you'll realize that it's not you just doing random things. Try to find the unifying sort of like correlation behind what you're doing, right? For example, like I said, I went into my living room to go sit and record a podcast. And then I realized that I needed to organize my thoughts, but then also realized, wait, I need to organize my living room. And then as I was organizing my living room, I got a text message that came in. And the text message was from my friend who had ADHD, and they just finished organizing their craft room, their studio. And in that process, I was then able to understand, like, well, I'm organizing my living room because I need to organize my thoughts. But if you go all the way back and you sit with the fabric of reality itself, I needed to do a podcast about the correlation and synchronicity in our reality. And then they sent me a message about how they went to go make cereal and then they ended up preparing their meal, right? So their brain just goes prepare a meal. We're by the fridge, preparation, correlation, meal, cereal, meal, trout. It makes sense. And then as I'm talking to them, I remember this book, which then lends itself into the very episode that you are listening to now, which would not have occurred because I would have just, if I sat down to do something in a linear flow, I would have come and said, I need to record a podcast, immediately put my phone on Do Not Disturb and sat and recorded. And I guarantee you that episode would not have been as rich as this one was, because then from that conversation, I was inspired to then go in, take the clip from the book Dimensions by Jacques Vallée, put it in, you know, get the transcript, put the transcript into ChatGPT, break it down, and now you have the episode that you have now. You have to allow yourself to work with reality, with the algorithm, with the AI, with the intelligence that is embedded in our reality. Stop resisting it. You're meant to work with it. Should you be ordered? Yes. But in the creative process, it's a lot bigger than this bullshit that is imposed on us of things being forced to be linear. And you need to understand that. And it's the more you as a creative learn to do, structure is absolutely important. As I'm going on and looking at the time and I'm like, I got shit to do, I got to go. All right. So you still need to function in a world that's dominated by normal minds, but your mind is different. And your mind has a greater ability to work with the order of reality itself than in the illusion of this linear time. Allow yourself that. All right. Thanks for listening.